Are you ready to lift the lid on your potential and become a strength leader? Then you won't want to miss this leadership insight lesson from the team at StrengthLeaderMentor.com. Now, here's your host.
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to tonight's Strength Leader Leadership Insight Call. Today is Monday, June the 18th, I believe. Yep, June the 18th. And I just want to sort of, first of all, thank everyone for coming on tonight. I am very excited about tonight's program, and I was just sharing with our guest speaker tonight that once I went through his slide deck and saw the content he had for tonight, I realized that I probably should have done a whole lot more of promoting what he's got to share with us tonight. Because really, as a leader for each of us, you know, it's all about execution. It's all about getting results. And there is an approach to getting results that works, and there's an approach to getting results that just, well, doesn't matter how much life we try to breathe into it, it just isn't happening. So what James is going to share with us tonight is his approach to getting results. And James, I know I'm probably going to get some of this wrong, but you'll correct me because you're very C-barred, so you'll be very perfect in making sure that you give me some sense of accuracy here. But, James, you are a PMP, which is a project management professional. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And you have worked on multi-million-dollar projects, hundreds of millions of dollars, everything from industry to the Defense Department. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Suddenly I feel like a lawyer. This is so cool. And folks, if you're new listening in through either the webcast live, through the archive, or through our iTunes podcast, you know, James and I are both professors at Free Agent Academy, and I'm sure James will share a little bit of his experience here on our call about Free Agent Academy and a little bit about what we do there, what he does there, and most importantly, where he really shares his gifting and his strengths. So on behalf of myself and Chris and Tim and Trudy, I just want to welcome folks. And, James, I'm going to have you take it away, my friend.
Well, thank you, Deb. It's such an honor to be asked to be on your shows and stuff. And, gosh, we go back a long way, so it's really nice to have that connection with you. Just real quick, so everybody kind of knows who I am, and Deb, that was a great introduction. Makes it sound really big what I've done, but my background is in project management, especially with IT systems, large enterprise systems. I've been doing that for more than 10 years now, mainly for the government, but also for industry. Before that, I was an officer in the Air Force, again, a computer geek, because that's what the Air Force paid me to go to school to do. But I really found my an awakening in me when I started teaching some programs and leadership programs that my company had at the Yale School of Management. And that just cracked open some things in me in terms of teaching and leading things like this. So that was about 2008. So here we are 4 years later, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing amazing things at Free Agent Academy where I'm a professor. And then that drive and passion for education has led me to apply to become a member of our city school board. We are a brand new school system starting from scratch, so using a lot of project management skills there as well to get us going. And if you're looking at the slides, I've got a bunch of pictures through here, just fun pictures. Most of them are my own Instagram pictures because I just have fun with it and tend to find things that I can just use to make a point. And so that picture of me is from a Free Agent Academy event. I like it makes me look more rugged than I really am wearing that vest.
So. Yeah, the flak jacket really suits you. Hey, and before I forget, James, you're going to have to connect with Joe Amschlinger here, who is in the community. Perhaps I can connect you both through email. Joe is a campaign coach, and he may want to pick your brain on a couple of issues.
Great, yeah. Love to meet Joe.
Yep, cool. And you're both on the same side of the fence, so it's even better.
Okay, well, you can go ahead to the next slide there, Deb.
Awesome.
Okay, so Deb titled this Results-Driven Execution, and I got to thinking, okay, well, how do I want to play with that? Because I didn't give her a title. She made one up. But, you know, really, when you think about it, results do drive execution. You know, success begets success. When we're successful at something, we're able to continue to move in that direction. It motivates us. It moves us forward. We grow in our confidence and in our ability to do things. So, yeah, results do drive execution, but how do we get to that point? Failure can drive execution as well. We can learn some lessons, but only if we don't give up, only if we don't let that be the final result, can failure move us forward. John Maxwell wrote a whole book about that, Failing Forward. So how do we kickstart this process and get some results that drive execution and get that cycle of momentum really moving? Okay, so I want to do a little exercise with you. And it works better if we're in an auditorium and I have power over the electricity. And so I want you to imagine that I've just turned the lights off in the room. It's pitch black. You can't see anything. You can't see your hand in front of your face. You don't know if there's anybody else in there. It's not like in the cartoons where you see the eyeballs lighting up. It's pitch black, and you can't see anything. That's an example of not having any vision. If you'll go ahead to the next slide, Deb. It's hard to live in the dark. It's hard to lead when you're in the dark. Because if you can't see where you're going, you don't know where you are, and you don't know where you want to go, you don't know what's safe and what's dangerous, what's going to work, what's not going to work. And even if you stay in that darkness for a long period of time, say the power goes out, right, or you wake up in the middle of the night and it's dark, your eyes adjust pretty quickly to the darkness, but it's never fully lit. Our eyes don't adjust to that darkness. It's that dimness very well. It's not enough to be free. It's not enough to live fully or to lead fully. So, it goes back to what Zig Ziglar said. If you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. So we've got to find a way to turn the lights on. When we turn the lights on, now we can start to decide. We can scan the room in 360 degrees and make a decision on where we want to go to or where we want to lead people to. Next. So step one in doing this is habit number two. And if you've read The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey, you'll know this one well. Begin with the end in mind. In fact, if you haven't read the book, you've probably heard the saying before, begin with the end in mind. And what does that mean? It just simply means that we know where we want to go. We have a vision of where we need to take things or where we need to take our team. I went through a strategic planning course recently. A perspective was a really big part of that course. And it's a really big part of the process that we do in doing strategic plans for people. Perspective equals truth. When we have assessed the situation, when we dig in deep inside of our souls, deep inside of our organization, deep inside of our people, and we really truly understand the way things are, we're not blinded by our biases or by our desires for things to be better than they are, we see the truth. And that truth gives us that launching ground to move forward. And so if you look at the picture there, you see the sun. But you can't tell if it's a sunrise or a sunset. There's no indicators in that picture, so you don't have the full truth of the picture. I can tell you the truth, but you have to believe me. And then you have to assess whether or not I'm telling the truth. Am I a truth teller or not? So getting that perspective is knowing the truth. And when you know the truth, and you can tell that to your team, and your team can buy into that, it gives you purpose. When you establish that vision and people know that it's coming from a foundation of truth and of reality, that gives you purpose. And purpose is motivation. If you know something and believe in something so much and its bedrock is in truth, well, that's motivation. That's motivation to move forward, to make something happen, and that motivation can be fed. It can be fed by doing a lot of things to remind you of that purpose, to remind you of that truth. And that's how we get that vision going. It's the seeds that start the vision, by beginning with the end in mind and gaining that perspective in order to create a vision. Okay, next. Step two is the vision thing. And there are a lot of different ways of doing vision statements, vision, whatever, in the corporate world. I'm not so much concerned about a vision statement that you put on the walls or put on your promotional materials or put in your commercials. That's fine and dandy. It's good to have a short little vision statement to remind people what you're about and what you're doing. A tangible vision statement, though, will get you moving and keep you moving. So what is a tangible vision statement? Well, there was a great article written in Inc. magazine a couple years ago, or let's see, 2011, so last year, about a year and a half ago almost. And I read that, and it just lit a light bulb under me because I got so tired of trying to restrict my vision statement to 11 words. And a lot of exercises out there do that. They have you go down and bring it down to such a short little statement that it starts to mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And that's, you know, they can still get the overall point across. There's nothing wrong with it exactly. But for me, I needed more. This article goes into the process. The author wrote about how he went into a market. And they were building a market, a farmer's market of some sort in his town. And he was on the planning committee or something. And so he created this vision statement of how's it going to be in 3 months when this thing starts up. And he just imagined himself walking through the market. And as he's walking through the market, he's describing what he sees and what he hears and what he smells. And so he goes through the market. And then 3 months later, they open, and he walks through the market, and it's exactly as he imagined it. Because he had that vision of what it could be, and all of the work that took place fed and led from that vision. So you've got to be a visionary leader. You've got to create something that's tangible that reminds people of why you're doing what you're doing. Read this article. Try this exercise out. I believe it's one of the most powerful exercises you can do to create a tangible vision statement. I did one for myself. I can go back now and reread it and look at it, and it writes me. It puts me back on course whenever I go off course a little bit.
That's James, can I share
a
story too with folks, because what you're saying is so right on. Back in 2006, I think it was, I did, maybe 2006 or 2007 the latest, I had done a home group through my church. Through some content I created, I took Max Lucado's book, Cure for the Common Life, because I thought it was really great, and I created a home group content out of it, you know. And I was running home groups out of my house with people from our church and taking them through the content. And in part of that, we created a vision board. And on the vision board, it was sort of put in, you know, illustrations or things that are visual to help you to describe what you want to envision in your future, what you want part of your vision statement to be. What's interesting is back in beginning of last year, I was cleaning out my closet, and lo and behold, there was my vision board. And do you know of the things that were on there? There was like a third of them had already happened. And that was in a very short amount of time. So I wholeheartedly agree, as vivid as we can be with the details and as focused as we can be in describing it and taking the time to, whether it's visually or through recording a video for yourself, or some people write like an essay to themselves of themselves in the future, it's not a matter of sort of like, woohoo, something that's a little, you know, transcendental. Not at all. It's really just a matter of, like it says in Habakkuk, you know, for those who read the Bible, you know, write the vision and make it clear so it could be seen on the run.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a big believer in that, James. So when I saw this on there, I was like, man, he is so right on. That is the thing. It is the vision.
And it leads right to the next thing, which is writing it down. If you go to the next
mm-hmm.
slide.
Mm-hmm.
When we write things down, it becomes real. It becomes tangible. Alan Jackson tells a great story. Our friend, not the country singer, although I wish I was friends with him, I could get in some good concerts. But our friend Alan Jackson from Kentucky tells the story of writing down 50 goals when he went to a conference for his life, and he couldn't come up with number 50. He had 49, but he couldn't come up with number 50. Well, he wrote down, you know, learn how to fly an airplane, because that's what somebody else wrote down. And he put it in his binder, and he put it in a box, and 3 years later he was moving. And that box came open and tumbled out this binder and tumbled out this list of 50 goals for his life. And he, oh, I remember doing that. They started going through it. Check, check, check. He had done every single goal on that list. except one, the one that wasn't his. He hadn't looked at it. He hadn't thought about it. But simply the act of writing it down once made it tangible enough for him to change his actions and move toward those things. It creates this gravity well that just pulls you in. So writing it down, you've got to write down your plan. Write down your vision, but now you've got to write down your plan. You want to align that long-term vision with all the short-term things that you've got to do. You know, what are your objectives for the next 90 days, the next year? What are those goals and strategies? What are the things that you have to take action on and go do? And so you want to build that plan from the top down. That's what the simple strategic plan is all about. That's the tool I teach, the tool I use to help coach people through this planning process, whatever it is. If they have a personal goal or a business goal or something for their organization, it's a great tool to really solidify in a very simple format how they can take that vision and those big dreams and goals and make them a reality. So the simple strategic plan. You can get that. I'll just give you a copy of it if you go to woosleycoaching.com/SSP. And you can download it, use it. There's some helpful text and stuff in there, but it's better than whenever I got it from my friend Chuck Bowen. Chuck's another great coach and friend of ours. You can use that. Play with it. Try it out. I'm in the process of actually rebuilding and retooling the entire thing. So that should come out later this year, I hope, and trying to make it even better than it already is. But, you know, use it. Let me know how it works for you. The basic parts of the tool, why it's so powerful. One, the simple is in the name. It's just a few pages long. It's not building a 50 or 100-page business plan so that you can go get a loan from the bank. This is really tangible work. What do you want? How are you going to get there? It uses a breakdown to breakthrough approach. We're going to take the big things that you have and break them down into small, bite-sized pieces. And, you know, it's a simple thing. It's just like the journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. How do we know where we want to put our steps to get to that 1,000-mile mark? So we're breaking things down in order to get those breakthroughs. The other side of it is do what works. It's one planning tool out there. There's millions of them on the internet if you just search around. Do what works for you. If the simple strategic plan isn't the right one, you might get some good ideas out of it. Some people use it up to a point, and then they have to put everything on a legal pad, or they got to put everything in an online project management tool. That's fine. Use it, try it out, let it work for you. And then flexibility is key. You've got to have a plan that's not so rigid that the first thing goes wrong and you have to throw the plan out. Reality doesn't work according to plan. So we want to have a little bit of a plan to guide us along, but the reality is even though the shortest distance between two points is a straight line, it's not necessarily the reality of the journey or the fastest way to go through it. Sometimes if we just take a step to the side and go around that obstacle, we're going to get there a lot faster than trying to dig our way through that mountain. So flexibility is absolutely key.
And I was going to say, James, one of the things that as a D&I-wired person, we tend, as you well know, my friend, because you and I worked on my SSP together,
mm-hmm.
we are not excited about filling out SSPs and forms and doing that type of planning. We do that type of planning, but we do it instinctively, and we do it in our head and our gut. And the problem with that is it's very hard to measure that. And I will say that I am a convert to James's approach because of the fact that if you don't do it that way, if you don't have a real written down plan, your ability to measure your results goes away. And if you can't measure your results, then it's kind of like, why are we doing it? So even if you download James's SSP, and James, thanks so much for giving that to everybody. That really is a gift. If you download it, and if you're struggling to fill it out, James will help you. He does coaching. That's what he does. He coaches people in doing their SSP. He coached me in doing mine, okay? The second thing is that if you look at this document and your eyes glaze over in your head, as mine did, and you go, oh, it's more than one page and three bullet points, I'm not interested. And you know who you are if you're in my voice. We know that that's part of our Achilles heel. So if that's the case, then take it, just like James said, one step at a time. Just chunk it out. Don't try to do it all in one sitting. You'll drive yourself nuts. And if you can, get some good mentoring and coaching from somebody like James who can help you through it. But the real key is, without that plan, I wouldn't have a clue whether I'm on target or off target, what's working, what isn't working. And that, frankly, is the real control in the business. So thanks for letting me pipe in there, James.
Oh, absolutely. And you make a good point, Deb. You do need to measure along your path. When you have a roadmap, you can see when you get to the mile markers, you can see and sense your progress and if you're going in the right direction or discover that you're going in the wrong direction. The other thing that it really gives you is the ability to communicate with others, because if that plan is only in your head, it's hard to share. It's hard to build a team and share that with your team so that you can work together toward the same things. You just become a dictator barking orders, and nobody has any foundation upon which to execute those orders. They have to just do exactly as they're told or get beat up because they didn't do it right, but they can't do it right because nobody told them how to do it right.
Exactly.
So it's very, it's very important.
For those of us that are in, you know, leading corporate teams, this is so critical. You know, a lot of times people will think the leader is ineffective because the leader is failing to communicate the real strategy, the real tactics, the real vision, and it's a communication problem. Once that leader can improve their ability to share the details, then folks can align themselves to it. But without sharing it in a very tangible fashion, like James just said, what happens is you'll find your work team starts to do a little bit of a mutiny. Or worse than that, they'll start to go off and do things on their own because now they're interpreting what they think you kind of sort of meant without being very clear of what the vision is, what the plan is, and how you're expecting the team to get there.
Absolutely. You need that communication. It becomes a communications tool, becomes a measurement tool, absolutely vital. Okay, so step four, execution. Nothing happens without execution. We can dream all day, come up with the greatest ideas in the world, do the best plan, the perfect plan, the plan that will work every single time. But if we don't pull the trigger, if we don't get to the fire part of ready, aim, fire, nothing's going to happen. So we've got to execute, but we've got to do so in a smart way. A lot of people will get stuck in a do, adjust cycle. They'll do something, they'll see what works, and they'll adjust it. They'll do something, they'll see what works, and adjust it. And that can work in some short-term ways. But to have any long-term progress toward that big vision that you've got, the big goals that you've got to do a different cycle. So you've got to do a little bit of planning. Then you need to execute on that plan. You need to do the work. Then you need to review. Take a pause and say, did that work or not? Did it work better than I thought or not? And then you've got to make adjustments along the way. But you don't want to make all these constant micro adjustments every hour, every day. You want to do it on a cycle. What I recommend with the SSP is a 90-day cycle, a quarterly cycle. And so you do a plan for 3 months, you work the plan. Now, if something crashes and burns, you obviously make an adjustment right then and there. But some things you just have to see if it's going to pan out, and you need to give it some time. So after that 3 months, you review it. What worked, what didn't work. Make some adjustments, replan the next 3 months, and on and on and on. So now you've got that cycle that you're executing on. Very important to get all the parts and pieces of that versus getting stuck in a do adjust. Okay? Okay. Just some simple tips now. Prioritization and daily action. You've got your plan. Let it guide your actions. So this is like doing a budget, right? So you say that you're only going to spend X amount of dollars on food. Well, you get to the 15th of the month and you're out of food money. Well, you're in control. You can make the adjustment. You just can't break the budget. So you've got to steal it from another category, or you've got to eat leftovers for the next 2 weeks. You're in control, but the budget's also in control. So it's kind of a flight plan. It's kind of a roadmap. The most basic level, though, you've got to do something every day that moves you and your team forward. Look at it, analyze it, prioritize it. What can we do today that has the most impact? What can we do right now to that's the most important thing to move us forward. That's what you've got to decide. And as the leader, that's what you're doing. If you're the captain of the ship, you're charting the course. You're looking out and saying, this is where we're going. We need to keep going this direction. Or if we keep going this direction, we're going to run into that land, so we better go around it. You're in charge. You're the leader. Be in control, but have that plan to guide you. The plan is kind of what you decided you wanted to do when you were sane. And then when you get into the insanity of a real-world situation, you can go back to that sane time versus letting the chaos of a moment dictate everything that you do, making whim decisions. Okay, next. So just a quick summary here. Begin with the end in mind. Have that bedrock, that foundation of what you want to go do and accomplish. Create a tangible vision. Make it real. Make it taste it, smell it, sense it, feel it. Write out your plans. You have to have something that you can communicate with other people, that you can remember whenever you're in the chaos of the moment, and then make sure that you're executing, that you're pulling the trigger, moving things forward instead of just sitting around dreaming or thinking up great ideas all the time. So I want to give you some simple homework just to finalize this. Think in terms of 30 days. Maybe you're new to this planning thing or you want to start becoming more proactive. Just write down one to three things that you know you need to accomplish over the next 30 days. They don't have to be super complex. They don't have to be very, very big, very, you know, huge, life-changing things. Just things that you know you need to get done. Write them down. Things that are big enough, though, that you're going to be a little disappointed if you don't accomplish them. You know, you don't want to lose 100 pounds in 30 days. That's not healthy. But maybe, you know, 3 to 5 pounds. You don't want to, you know, pay off $100,000 debt in 30 days. Well, maybe we do. But that's probably going to be a little outside the realm. But maybe getting on a budget is something that we can do. Maybe that big proposal that we need to do for that big potential client, we've been just kind of waiting and hesitating and procrastinating on, maybe that's what we need to work on over the next 30 days to get that in their hands so that maybe we get the contract. Write them down, review them daily, and then get them done. And you can do a lot of different things to see it and remember it every day. Put them on post-it notes. Put it on your bathroom mirror. Put them in your car on the dashboard. Whatever it is that you're going to see it and be reminded of those things every day. And a simple reminder is going to move you forward in making those things happen. And you can utilize this with your team as well. Have them all write down their one to three things. Share that. Work together in doing that.
And I would say, James, this is probably one of the areas that seems very simple and very basic to a lot of us. But the reality is, I forget what the statistic is, you'll probably know, that there's a huge percentage of people that their goals are accomplished when they're written down. And I know the number's fairly significant, and for a lot of us, we think, yeah, I know what I need to do today. Really? Well, if what you think you know or you need to do today, is it really part of your plan? Is it really serving your vision? You know, again, starting with the end in mind, what do you really want to accomplish? And make sure that, you know, you're doing a checkup to see that those three things are really aligned. They're serving the highest purpose of what you're hoping to accomplish.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I don't know what the statistics are, and they're bantied around all over the place. But there is a reality in writing things down and moving yourself forward. And, I need this as bad as anybody else. When I do these things, I get more done. Most of the time, though, most of my life, I have been successful in spite of myself. And I could have done so much more if I had just had a plan and just worked the plan instead of, you know, just going day by day, you know, performing well, doing a good job, but really missing the mark on what it was I wanted, doing what other people wanted, letting other people dictate my vision. Well, you know, that's changing. I'm doing things differently now, and I'd love to help other people do that as well. So thank you very much, Deb. I've had a lot of fun. I know we've gone a little bit longer than planned, but I'm happy to take any questions if anybody has them.
Hey, this is Trudy.
Hey, Trudy.
How are you? I appreciate the answer you gave to me on the site regarding keeping momentum going?
Oh, yeah, that's a great question.
Really appreciated everything you shared tonight. What a great way to present it and just kind of guide us through the process and make it all seem so achievable.
Thank you.
That's my buddy James. I love it. Thanks, Trudy. And that really was a great question because that is a question that a lot of folks, I think, can definitely identify with.
I think it's where I most
ongoing piece.
Leadership is when I can't maintain momentum. And that's when I most question for myself, you know, how do I fix it? Where have I gone astray? Is it the right vision? You know.
Yep. And to me, that's where it all starts. It's always just the vision. Yeah.
Yeah, you've got to have one so that you can refer back to it. And then you've got to realize that infinite momentum does not exist. It has to be fed. And so there's going to be ebb and flow on any project, any effort. And as a leader, you've got to kind of let people go into that valley a little bit sometimes, because not everybody can fire 100% effort constantly all at the same time. You hope for that synergy at certain moments where everybody really shows up. You know, if there's a fire and the firemen show up, you want them on their game that day at that moment. But if they're sitting around the fire station and there hasn't been a fire in 3 weeks, okay, well, you know, let's let them slip a little bit, but not so far that when the bell rings, they don't know how to put the pants on.
Right.
So it's a combination of things, but there's ebb and flow on every project. I'm learning that lesson myself as I'm on some things now that, okay, I kind of care about it, and I want to do a good job, but I'm not as gung-ho as the people around me. And either I need to back out or I need to learn the lessons and remember back to when I was super gung-ho and there were people around me that weren't. How can I still get the most out of them that I can get, but understand that not everybody's going to be as committed as you are, especially when you're the leader. You know, that's our vision. If it's our company and we want to make it grow, then it's hard to instill that level of motivation in your employees or in your team members. But
and that's
you
why I think
things to get closer.
Yeah, I was going to say that's why setting them up for small wins is a great way to get them feeling really confident about their contribution and their ability to serve the purpose. I think that's one strategy to sort of jumpstart the team, if you will.
You know,
go
ahead.
Oh, just don't make the vision so much about you.
Right.
You know, you've got to be willing to say, wow, that's a really great idea. I never thought of it that way. Let's do that too. Or let's do that instead. My idea is now on the back burner. Your idea is in the front. That goes a long way towards motivating a team.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And to tie into a lot of what Deb brings to the table with, you know, personality styles and understanding that, I think that sometimes the D and the I personalities, they really feed off the energy of the team, and when the momentum goes away, it's harder for them to dig into their vision. And I think sometimes the S's and the C's, who are very process-oriented to begin with, can maybe appreciate the vision even when the people aren't giving them everything that they would like in terms of that people reinforcement, you know?
Mm. Yeah. You want different people driving the bus at different times on the trip.
Right. And I know I'm a people person, so when I feel like more people are playing with me, it feeds my commitment to the vision. And I think if I really look deep into my, you know, my processing or my, you know, my commitment to the vision, then it really doesn't matter what everybody else is doing.
Right.
I just take another step, try something else, like you said, you know, measure it for a period of time and then go back and make a change. But that's been a little bit of an aha for me tonight, is to separate what I'm trying to lead from the reaction of those that are following without paying attention to them. You know what I mean?
It's always a difficult balance between tasks and people. You know, and that's why if you look at the disc, you know, there's people that have the different tendencies there. And as long as everybody comes to the table to do their part, and you can get a little bit of both happening, you can build some momentum and get some things done.
Yep.
That's for sure. Knowing you, Trudy, no doubt in my mind.
What'd you say, honey?
I said, knowing you, Trudy, there's no doubt in my mind. That's for sure.
Well, I appreciate the little extra insight that this, you know, has kind of led to my vision. So I'm sure everybody online feels the same way.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, James, I saw that melody. Hey, Trudy, was there any other questions you had in regards to that?
No, but I saw there was a couple other people that did some back and forth there with him, too.
Yeah, yeah.
By reading
James,
all that.
It looked like Melody had posted and you had answered Melody's question. Melody, I think you're on the phone with us tonight, right?
Yes, here.
Great.
Hey,
so
Melody.
I don't know if you had a chance to read James's answers back to you there in that discussion, and if there was any follow-up questions that you had, or what, you know, was there a takeaway that you've taken now out of those, both his answer and tonight's content that you'd like to sort of run through the group?
Well, I asked him basically three questions about vision, and I suppose it's the last one that he answered, which I guess speaks strongest to me about what I'm doing and what I'm going to do. When I asked, is having to revise one or more times a sign of weak vision or poor idea? Since I'm sensing that I need to revise my vision, and it's only been about, I don't know, maybe 6 months since I came up with one. And I know that when I originally did, I wasn't feeling so strongly about it. The fact that I do want to change it somewhat, his answer tells me that I'm not really far off course. Because what you explained to me, James, was that it's okay to refine it. And so since I didn't feel as strongly as I thought I should have at that time, the fact that I do now sense the need to change it in a particular way, I guess is not a bad thing.
Yeah, and it's not a bad thing to refine a vision over time. You know, you learn new things, you get new inputs. It's not a bad thing to abandon a vision sometimes. Sometimes you had the wrong vision. You know, we are all imperfect. As much as I want to be perfect, I know I'm not. So sometimes you reach a point, it's like, wait a minute, I need to go the other direction. And there's an exercise I do with a lot of my clients. They'll need a custom-developed report or something like that. And I can sit down with them with a blank piece of paper and I say, okay, what do you want? And they don't know. And so I say, okay, well, let me come up with something. So I come up with something real quick. It doesn't even matter what I come up with sometimes. And I say, how about this? And they say, oh, no, that's horrible. That's exactly wrong of what I don't want that at all. I want something completely opposite. I'm like, great, now I know what you want. And I turn it around, change the direction exactly opposite, and now I can deliver what they want. But they needed that seed, that first little bit to get going. And
right.
Sometimes that's what we've got to do. What's what you've done with your business and your blog and everything that I've been following with you is let's just chart out a course and let's see how it fits for a while. Sometimes we just have to do that, too. But, yeah, refine, adjust, you know, change it along the way. But like I warned you in the answer, you don't want to be changing it constantly if you're just kind of going to and fro, back and forth all the time. It's a refining process. It's a getting to a better and better level of purity in what your vision is about.
The other thing, too, go ahead, Melody.
Oh, no, I want to hear what you have to say, Deb. Go ahead, please.
I was going to suggest, too, a lot of times what gets refined a lot is the how-to.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes the how-to makes us think that our vision itself needs to change, where the vision may have some small tweaks here and there, but the process to accomplish the vision would change over time. You know, different tactics, different strategies, different demographics, different members of a team. So all of that could definitely change. the vision would definitely have some modifications to it. But if you find that the vision is changing dramatically in scope, then probably best served to just focus on the vision rather than the tactics and get that really solid. And then it will be like, it's kind of like what James was saying tonight, you know, about starting with the end in mind. Then it will make the tactical piece a lot easier for you to connect with.
If you can imagine, say, 120 years ago, there's two companies. One looks at itself as a transportation company, and the other looks at itself as a train company. Well, what happened shortly, you know, after 120 years ago? You know, planes and automobiles. The train company is going to die out, whereas the transportation company is going to evolve into the new modes of transportation.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's exactly what you're talking about, Deb, is it's having the vision in the right mindset that it can flex and bend with the times or with whatever is coming around it. If your desire is to serve families, serve families. Don't say, you know, we have to serve families by doing X, Y, and Z activities. Those may come and go, but if your real heart is at serving families, keep it a little bit more on the generic side to the end game, the real purpose of what's behind the vision.
Like, it's interesting, if I could share with the group, you know, the vision for Strength Leader, that company of mine, is to equip people to lead their lives in their strengths. So it's a pretty broad vision. How it gets executed can be through Strength Leader Mentor or through the work I do inside of corporate offices where I come in and do lunch and learns and I coach executives, or through my work with My Wired Style, equipping people with how to come into contact with what their real strengths are. So it can be executed different ways. Hopefully that makes sense.
Yeah, and that vision becomes that measuring stick or that indicator that you can go back to and say, am I still living out this vision? Maybe I've changed. Maybe the vision isn't what I wanted, or maybe I've gone off course and I need to come back.
And you know what's good too, Melody? I was just thinking, you know, right here at Strength Leader Mentor, you could start a discussion, you know, post right in here and say, hey, folks, can I bounce this off of you? You know, here's where I think my vision is, and here's the pieces I'm really feeling very comfortable with. Here are the pieces that, I don't know, what do you think about this? And just get a cross-section of ideas from other folks, too. Sometimes, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I am so in the forest in my own pieces of my brand and my company that I have to ask for outside opinions because I can't see things from their perspective so easily.
Thank you. There's a lot of things I can take away from that. I just start trying to jot down things as you were all talking. I do see where I have been challenged by a lot of how-to, and so I think I've let that impact me as to, you know, well, maybe I'm going in the wrong direction since this seems difficult to do. But I'll reassess, and as far as the bigger picture and the company that was a transportation company and the other one that was the train company, I have been feeling a bit of struggle with my original idea, which was I'm going to be about travel, but I've come to and have been living in the fact that I'm really about lifestyle. And then I am going to think about ways to and question specific questions for the discussion because I know that I need to have people around me who are objective because I'm just right in it and it's hard for me to see what I'm doing. I'm just doing a lot of stuff and I forget what I'm doing. That's it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. That's the hardest thing for me too, Melody. That's why, I don't even hide it. Chuck Bowen is my coach because I know I need outside opinions. I'll go to the professors at Free Agent Academy. James knows. He's gotten emails from me, you know, asking questions. You know, use the folks around you, you know, and actually bounce it off a few folks. And the other thing, too, is this is probably a really important thing, too, for so many of us, to take a step back. We're always so pressured on, you know, what we're going to do. and how we're going to do it, and how much can I monetize it, and will it be worthwhile, and can I make a living, and take a breath and say, and Kim Borelli just is the queen of this, you know, just focus on what, not how. Just focus on what you want. What do you want it to look like? What do you want it to feel like? What do you want your clients, what feelings do you want them to walk away with? And describe that more than the how. And I think that might take you a little bit further down the road.
And also just ask yourself, what will be the most fun? You know, well, that'll put some energy back into whatever's bringing you down, too, if you can just change it up and start to realize, you know, what is the fun part of this, and why did I want to do it in the first place? Things will evolve. You know, you'll start out making soap and having a great time making soap until you've got to make 40,000 bars this month. You know, making soap isn't fun anymore. It was fun at the beginning. You know, it was my hobby. And sometimes hobbies can turn into businesses. Other times, they just need to stay a hobby.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So, thank you, James. Thank you so much, Deb, and thank you.
Thanks, Melody. Good to hear your voice.
Yeah, it is good to hear your voice. Say hey to Lawrence for me.
Yeah, for both of us.
I will.
Okay, Tori, your question is up next. Tori said, "Hey, James, we're so looking forward to hearing you in our group tonight. Awesome guest, Deb." Question, how do we help non-linear thinkers become involved in a process? When the idea generators, those free thinkers, are looking at vision, schedules, and deadlines, one can almost see their eyes glaze over. Yes, you can hear it, actually. It actually clunks in my brain. Is there a method for keeping these people focused, engaged, and moving forward to a specific goal?
Yeah, I was crafting an answer for Tori before we got started here. Couple of thoughts. Make it tangible. You know, I talked about that a lot tonight. You know, you can put Post-it notes on the wall, decorate them different colors, use lots of markers and colors or drawings even instead of words. Jonathan Poole, another professor at FAA, a friend of ours, he showed me at his house, he's got a tangible calendar. And so he's got a big year, all 12 months on the calendar. He's got little Post-it notes that show, you know, when he's going to do a life plan or when he's going to do a strat op, the different processes that he does. And then he takes those off the Post-it notes that are all along the side of the wall. If he wants to do 10 life plans this year, it's a two-day process. So he's got those pre-built, and then he just books them in on his calendar whenever he gets them booked. He knows he's got to do 10. There's 10 on the wall. He has to place those into the calendar, so he's got a constant reminder of if he's hitting his goals or not. Make it fun. You know, you don't have to use spreadsheets and forms. You can use giant sheets of paper, whiteboards, whatever. Do lots of doodling. I think pulling in an outsider as well so it's not stuck in your head. A lot of times it's not fun because you're a people person. You're outgoing, and sitting at a computer working on a form is not fun for you. Talk it out with somebody else, you know, whether it's a coach or a friend or an accountability partner. You know, just sitting and you could take that same approach with the SSP and talk through it. That's a lot of what we did, Deb, whenever I worked with you on your SSP, is I asked you questions and I filled it out for you, and at the end you had a product.
Yep.
And so you can use a lot of different methods to pull those things together and get it out. The most important thing is at the end of the day, you've gotten a little bit more organized, a little bit more intentional, and you're moving in the right direction. Whatever method and way that you do that, go for it. If you get those three things, being organized, intentional, and moving in the right direction, you're golden.
I love it. And the other thing, too, is if it's something that, Tori, that you're giving someone else to do, so it's somebody else you're trying to engage, the other thing, too, is to see that sometimes our vision isn't quite theirs. It's sort of like, you know, if you're in a married relationship and you have your own business and, you know, you may rely on your spouse to handle a certain aspect of your business, but if it's not something they're excited about and it's not their gifting as much as they might love us, it doesn't mean that they're going to be thrilled to pieces and that they're going to be really engaged, you know, doing it. So we also have to just to put in context of if it's for yourself or someone else. And Tori, just put right in the chat box there if you have a follow-up question to it while we've got James. James, I know we're holding you much longer than anticipated. Do you mind answering just a couple more questions?
I'm sitting in a hotel room by myself, so this is fine. This is fun.
All right, cool. Then we are your company, man. This is great. Thank you. Shouldn't have told me that. You'll be on until midnight. Nah, not quite, but thank you for that. So, Tori, feel free to put right in the chat box. In the meantime, let me read Carolyn's question in the chat box. She said, when I am fueled and inspired, I am on fire. Yet when the fuel runs low or runs out, I produce nothing of worth. I constantly and consistently need to refuel. It takes a serious effort.
Yeah, that refueling process is important. I mean, I'm kind of hard charging, and I work really hard, and I'm really focused when I'm focused. Getting that focus is sometimes a little harder. But I can go and go and go. You remember, Deb, well, we didn't have a lot of the first few of FAA events together. We met later in person. But we had 2.5 days out in Colorado, and I would literally work on about 4 hours sleep. Because I just wanted to absorb as much as I possibly could. And that's just kind of the way I am. If I get focused on something, I don't need to eat or sleep or anything else. I'm just working. I'm focused. But I burn out. You can't sustain that level of attention. Nobody can for forever. Everybody's got a different point where their fuel tank burns out. My fuel tank also doesn't get filled if I'm sitting around not very focused, not really getting anything done, bored, whatever. That's sometimes the hardest time to kickstart my engine and actually go do something. I learned that about myself doing my life plan with Jonathan. So you have to figure out what's your replenishment cycle. What are those things that give you energy that you need to do in order to perform at your best? It might be exercise. It might be talking to people. It might be vegging out and watching a movie. But there are certain things that will give you energy, and you need to integrate those into your normal daily or weekly cycle of life. When you do that, then you can, you're refueling your tank, and you're able to actually go further than constantly burning yourself to empty. But it's different for everybody. Everybody's got different things that refuel them. Just be in touch with yourself and what that is.
Yeah, and Carolyn, I think you might be dewired like I am, either primary or secondary, and we tend to be either on or off. Those are the only two switches we have to our engine. It's full on, 0 to 120 in 3 seconds, and then completely shut down. It's very rare for us to sort of ride in that middle for any length of time. The other thing, too, is I think James hit on a really golden one. For each of us, how we refuel is a little different. So for some of us, we get refueled by being able to do something we really love to do, whether we're getting paid for it or not, to operate in, whether it's a hobby or just an area that we're just sharing openly with other folks. That can sometimes just refuel us and get us very excited. And what I know for me, what tends to pull me away from that energy level is when my responsibilities require that I pull myself out of that piece that I love so much into something mundane like, filling out a spreadsheet. For those of you who love to do that, I'm sorry to say it, but it just doesn't energize me. It'll throw you to pieces, but not me. So maybe, Carolyn, look at it a little bit that way, too.
Yeah, it varies so much from person to person. But it's also a matter of extremes. One of the things that replenishes me is solitude. I need time alone, just to myself, without the noise of the kids. I love my kids, but I need to get away from them. I need to get away from everybody sometimes to just refuel. But I need to do that intentionally. If I'm doing it simply because I'm alone, because they went off to visit grandma or something and I'm home alone, it doesn't necessarily do it for me. It's whenever I intentionally go do it. But then if I'm there alone too much, it starts to become a negative thing. So now I've got to get out and I've got to get around people, even though I'm very much an introvert, very high C, off the scale C. So you have to start to learn how you operate. And it's just assessing your life and looking at the different domains of your life, what gives you energy, what takes energy away, and how much can you handle before it becomes a bad thing.
Yeah. And if you have another question, follow-up question, just pop it right up there to the chat box there, Carolyn, before we end the broadcast. And the same is true for anybody else. If you're on the phone live with us and you have a question, just speak up now while you've got James on the phone. So I'll give us the old 5-second warning. Nope. All right. Well, James, oh, Joe, did you want to say something? Nope. I thought I saw Ohio.
No, I'm good. Sorry. Yeah, but yeah, me and Skype are not necessarily good friends.
Oh, no problem. I'm sure somehow it's me that's doing it to us anyway. But I saw Ohio
James,
lighting
James,
up
thanks
on
for,
my...
Thanks for supplying that that worksheet for us, too. That was really nice of you. I know it's not an easy thing to put together. That's much appreciated.
Well, you're very welcome. I'm not the originator of the SSP. That belongs to Chuck Bowen, but I did try to make it usable. It confused me the first time I saw it. And then when Chuck presented it, the light bulbs went off, and I fell in love with it.
You are the improver for sure. And I'm going to make you guys through email. So in the meantime, James, I want to thank you so much for your time on tonight's program and really just bringing back into focus that, you know, it's leaders' responsibility to execute and to produce results. And obviously they're not doing it on their own, but the strategies and the ideas and the tactics to do that effectively is all centered around having a vision and a plan, communicating it well, and you know, sort of walking the walk and not just talking the talk. So, James, thank you again. Maybe we can twist your arm and you can come on, like, at a different time, and maybe we can take some aspects of this and really do a sort of a deeper dive.
I'd love to. Anytime, Deb.
That'd be great. Well, thanks, everyone. Let me close out our webcast for tonight, and I hope everyone just has an amazing week. So get your three down, as James suggested. Download your SSP. Take a look at that article from Inc. magazine. I posted it there in the chat box. And let's get planning.
Want to strengthen your leadership even further? Join Deb and Gino and the entire team in the fastest growing leadership online community at strengthleadermentor.com.